Breakfast Beat on 91.3 FM. Your voice in the morning.
7:43 is where we're at this morning. If you've just joined us, welcome into it. Nice to have you with us. And we move along now to our next feature. Now, criticism against Chief Justice Mogoeng is mounting, with several more organizations voicing their anger in response to his remarks on Israel. Now, Judge Mogoeng had a webinar discussion with South Africa Chief Rabbi Warren Goldstein, hosted by the Jerusalem Post last week, in which he criticized the ANC government's position on the Israel-Palestine conflict. And during the discussion, Mogoeng said he believes that as a Christian, he's obligated to love Israel, and said that those who curse the Zionist state will be cursed. Certainly raised loads of eyebrows. Now, as Mogoeng's comments gained traction last Friday, the People Against Apartheid and Fascism, known as PAF, joined the chorus of criticism against him. Now, one of the members, Mahmoud Patel, joins us online now. He's an international legal scholar and is based at the Academic Planning Unit at UWC. Assalamu alaikum, good morning, and thank you for joining us, Mr. Patel.
Walaikum salam, how are you?
Very well,
shukran. And thanks, and salams to all your listeners as well.
Only a pleasure having you with us. Firstly, you know, just to open up this discussion, you know, on the outset, you know, should Chief Justice, judging and owing to the fact as to, you know, the level that he's at and sits at in this country and the responsibility that he has that comes with his title, should he withdraw his comments?
Absolutely. The comments he made on June 23 on that right-wing platform paper, the Jerusalem Post, with a rabbi from South Africa, was not only misinformed, repugnant, and disgraceful, but we've never heard since the dawn of this democracy about a judge putting his hand on the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, swearing to uphold their own personal scriptures. What is shocking about the Chief Justice's comments is that the roles of judges in terms of Section 12 of our Judicial Services Commission states clearly that extrajudicial activities of a judge should never be contrary. For example, in a public domain where he has now given this and critiquing South African foreign policy to the detriment of their judicial obligations and independence, which then becomes incompatible with the confidence and independence of a judge. It's clearly stated there. Mm. And a decade earlier, we are now almost toward the end of his tenure as the Chief Justice, there was a similar question asked by the Institute of Security Studies by an Emily Kinama, an intern, where she said, is the appointment of him as Chief Justice in the interest of the people? And lo and behold, a decade later, we're sitting here with something much more damning against him. He was at the time, in terms of the section that is applicable, 173 subsection 4 of the Constitution, for an appointment of a Chief Justice and Deputy Chief Justice. Freedom Under Law organization brought a challenge to the time President Zuma and the appointment of the Chief Justice. In there, the concerns that were raised by Judge President Bernard Knupe at the time, he gave six summarized concerns, if my memory serves me correct. And the JSC, and they focused on ethics, gender sensitivity, homophobia, experience, faith, and jurisprudential philosophy. And if you look at the comments he made in open support of the State of Israel, conflating religious texts to support his personal position for the oppressive state of the Israeli government, the human rights violations is legion. No. We have so much of it documented historically in terms of the conventions for seven decades plus, that it has contravened the bombings from 2009, even before. From in this decade alone, over 4,000 citizens have been killed, so, 1,500 children.
But let's come back to you know, the issue at hand here. It goes without saying that anyone, even the highest judge in the land, is going to hold a certain political view. You know, what do you think will be perhaps the implications of these remarks that he made on June 23rd with regards to his role as the Chief Justice? And, you know, should there be that separation, particularly in the public domain?
Of course there must be the separation. How can there be confidence in the Chief Justice? Imagine now there is a matter that is currently in the Constitutional Court, which is our apex court. And how can the judge then be impartial? Why? Because this matter deals with an issue that is between COSATU and the South African Jewish Board of Deputies involving the Israeli-Palestinian issue. Now, in this court that he presides as the Chief Justice, would there be any impartiality now that we know what his position is? Would it be fair for the litigants to appear before that? Would it be correct for him to recuse himself for that? Absolutely. He cannot be allowed to continue in that position when matters like this come to that court. So the question you're asking about the objectivity of a presiding mm-hmm. judicial official mm-hmm. is paramount. Mm. Because expressing your public views and risking the objectivity of a judge, in this instance, the Chief Justice, implies there is no impartial. He will not be impartial. He would be prejudiced to the side that should not be given. Where is the fairness in that? Absolutely absent.
So, of course, there's been a lot of criticism about around those comments, you know, about his use of him being Christian and having his Christian beliefs and using his Christian beliefs to justify Israel's action. Do you think perhaps that Mokgweng is conflating, you know, these religious texts in this regard?
No, absolutely, he's conflating texts. He's taking biblical text. He's taken it from what the reports are against the religious use of text to substantiate his prejudice, his views, his open support for Israeli position, where he says that if you don't support Jerusalem, you know, you'll be damned and cursed and all kinds of things like that. I mean, look at the faith leaders in South Africa, the Anglican Church, the Methodist Church, the United Congregational Church, Christian churches, Council of the African Independent Churches, all firmly support the plight of the Palestinian people. So his views are not only an affront to our legacy of the struggle in South Africa, but they also go and fly smack in the face of the other Christian organizations that have taken a just position. So obviously Israel's hands are not clean. We all know that. But what is important here is he even ignores the role played by Christian archbishops in occupied Palestine.
Sure.
For example, Archbishop Capucci, who was legendary in his support of the Palestinian people. Currently, the Archbishop Theotheosios of Sebastia, who's better known as Archbishop Atollah Hana, their principal position as Christians with the oppressed Palestinian people is well known. How it has slipped or gone out of the radar of a Chief Justice in this country who has been exposed, like all citizens, to what's going on in Palestine shows absolute ignorance on the part of the Chief Justice now, and the separation of his judicial duties, conflating it with his personal religious beliefs.
Now, of course, you know, these remarks also come at a time, you know, when we've been seeing global outrage and condemnation against Israel for, you know, its plans to annex parts of the occupied West Bank. And one would expect a judge of Mokgweng's caliber to stand on the right side of justice, perhaps.
Absolutely. We are on the eve of the annexation that's going to take place in occupied Palestine again. We have Palestinians themselves who voiced their dissatisfaction with the comments made by the Chief Justice himself. The annexation that's going to take place is a violation of international law. It also goes against the resolutions passed by the United Nations. It goes against many support groups across the world and so on, including South Africa and our foreign policy position as well. So at a point like this, it's very inflammatory and insensitive for him to have made these comments. Besides being callous and cold, he has just taken the victims of more than 7 decades and told them that you are now entitled to be further victimized and further oppressed, even though he uses the Bible to justify his position.
Sure. We have about 60 seconds to go, and I want to, you know, end off with this particular question in terms of the other side of the argument that perhaps Mokgweng has the right to hold his own political views because he does have the right to freedom of expression that's enshrined in our constitution that he upholds.
The freedom of expression is not an unwarranted, unlimited right to say what you want, when you want, and how you want. Because that needs to be a check and balance. And the Constitution and the way in which our constitutional jurisprudence develops and is developing must consider that as well. The Chief Justice needs to exercise objectivity, show the independence without fear, fervor, prejudice. and to apply it with fairness. What his comments have made is it has set up a very slippery slope going into the future, and by that token, then we allow ourselves to let all these extreme organizations and extreme views that individuals hold come to the fore, and that then taints the way in which they would apply the Constitution and the different human right provisions that are there. So to say that no, freedom of expression gives you unwarranted right to express what you want is incorrect.
All right, let's leave it at that for this morning. Mr. Mahmoud Patel, we thank you for joining us on air this morning and sharing your insight on the matter. It is much appreciated. Go well.
Shukran, Sabira, and thank you.
Only a pleasure. And of course, that was Mahmoud Patel of PAF speaking to us this morning with regards to growing calls for Judge Mokgweng to withdraw his remarks. Very interesting there.